that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Attention Python fans. Today we take you to the Blue Room Theater in Chico, where they're getting ready for opening night tonight of the theater's latest production, Monty Python's Educational Show. A ridiculous evening of classic Python sketches performed live. We'll talk with the director and with members of the cast. And later on today's show, we talk with Rita Rickmers, art teacher at Chico's Pleasant Valley High School. Through a special entrepreneurship grant, Rickmers is providing a program to teach her students how to market and sell their handmade creations. The students will offer those creations at the Art at the Matador event next month. We'll also be talking with two of those students. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Mall with the North State Arts Calendar.
In Reading, at Old City Hall, Axiom Repertory Theater presents Marvin's Room. This poignant comedy drama plays tonight and tomorrow at 7:30, with a Sunday matinee at 2. Tonight, at Reading's Pilgrim Congregational Church, playing her first ever concert in the North State, folk musician Kelly McRae. The music starts at 8 o'clock. Tomorrow, at the Cascade Theater in Reading, Emmy-winning comedian Vicki Lawrence performs as Vicki Lawrence and Mama, a two-woman show. The antics begin at 7:30. Then Sunday at the Cascade, it's a silver screen classic film party with the 1952 musical Singin' in the Rain. Starting at 6 o'clock, enjoy live music, dancing, and themed drinks. The movie starts at 7:30. At the Orland Art Center, Other People, Other Places. The three artists featured in this exhibit have traveled extensively, and their art reflects their responses to the places they have visited and the people they have met. Center hours, 1 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. California Regional Theater in Chico presents High School Musical, based on the Disney TV movies. This singing, dancing extravaganza plays only two performances, tomorrow at 7 o'clock, and Sunday at 2, at the Chico Center for the Performing Arts on the edge of the Pleasant Valley High campus. Tomorrow, at Chico State's Roland Taylor Recital Hall, the 18th Kreschke Piano Competition. The best and the brightest pianists from around the state compete in this event honoring Tchaikovsky. This display of musical talent begins at noon. Also at the university tomorrow, Harlan Adams Theater hosts Symphonic Winds, Apotheosis of This Earth. The concert, showcasing music by Carol Husa, begins at 7:30. Then Tuesday at Harlan Adams Theater, In Time, Ensemble Concert. The Chico State Concert Band and Jazz Express join forces for a special evening of music, everything from overtures to big band swing, beginning at 7:30. Sunday, the Museum of Northern California Art, MONCA, moves into its new home, the Veterans Memorial Hall on Esplanade in Chico. Be part of MONCA's historic event. Join the celebration between 1 o'clock and 5. The Chico Arts Center presents the 13th Annual Junior High and High School Student Art Exhibit. This show, called Creative Fusion, highlights work by students in the greater Chico area. Art Center hours, noon to 4, Monday through Friday, and 10 to 4, Saturday and Sunday. Tomorrow, 1078 Gallery in Chico closes its 2017 member show. The gallery is open tomorrow, 12:30 to 5:30. Monday, the university's Janet Turner Print Museum opens the 22nd Annual Juried Student Printmaking Exhibition and the 15th Annual Student Ink Clay Show. Turner hours, 11 to 4, Monday through Saturday. You don't have to curb your enthusiasm when Theater on the Ridge in Paradise stages a reading of Fish in the Dark. The comedy marks the playwriting debut of Larry David, co-creator of Seinfeld and creator of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Only three performances, tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Today's the birthday of actor Anthony Quinn, who believed that on stage you have to find truth, even if you have to lose the audience.
The Monty Python Educational Show, spelled with a K in the middle, is the production that opens tonight and plays only two performances at the Blue Room Theater in Chico. And we're going to be talking with the cast, but first we're going to be talking with the director. This is Alexandra Hilsey. These sketches are so iconic. What have you been doing to make it fresh again for a live production on stage at the Blue Room Theater?
Well, what's very interesting is that instead of having just six tall, white, British men, adult men, on stage, what we have are young, you know, youths. And I think what we're kind of doing is exploring Python in relation to learning. Of course, you know, this is the educational show. We are having children or young adults enact the show for adults. But in a way, we're having the children teach the adults.
You started by actually showing the original sketches, right? Having watched that. So then how did you make it so that they weren't just parroting, dead parroting the sketches, just spewing a copy? How did you have more of an improvisational feel so it opened it up and really felt new?
I left that a lot up to them, because at first what I was trying to do and what I was mostly under the impression that I was doing is trying to deliver the sketch. But then as we realized about 3 weeks into the rehearsal process, that's just not possible to do without them doing themselves. And so the trial then became, okay, find your own motivations. Play off the other character, honestly. Don't try and manufacture some kind of line reading or a response. I mean, yes, there are some wonderful moments in Python, and the humor comes from the changes in pitch and the tonal quality, which you'll see in the scenes. Some of them have been, of course, line read to fit the original sketch. But I really think that the actors are playing off of each other, and looking and listening is key, listening to each other for what to do next, because, I mean, they don't know what's next, or they're not supposed to.
Did they have a feeling that they were discovering things for the first time when they started performing them?
Oh, yes. And I think those layers just peeled back every time the scene was done, which was beautiful to see as a first-time director, just to kind of get that rush of someone getting an aha moment and saying, oh, that's what it was. Oh, thank you. Oh, if I attack this role outside and try and focus on the external stimuli versus the internal stimuli, then that gives an entirely different response and one that I like versus the other one that wasn't really working for me.
Does doing this make you want to direct more?
Oh my God, yes. Oh, I've found something that I really enjoy doing. I love staging a picture. I love getting to put my own aesthetic sensibilities onto the stage and working with actors in a way that I think mines something that teaches me in the end. I mean, that sounds really selfish as a director, but I mean, there's something about it I really latched onto, and it was kind of a frightening experience to have in the first 2 weeks of directing, be like, oh wow, I feel like this is something good I'm doing. I feel okay about this. This has been a very encouraging experience, and I really do hope to have more projects in the future.
I'm at the Blue Room Theater in Chico, and I am talking with the cast of Monty Python's Educational Show. That's the name of the production that opens tonight at the Blue Room. We have here Tristan Gunderson. Have you always been a big Monty Python fan?
Oh, absolutely. I have loved Monty Python for years.
What did you think when you heard that there was a chance that you could actually do some of the more famous skits from the Monty Python show?
I quite literally jumped with joy.
How do you take your own approach to these and not just mimic by rote the tone of voice and everything about the original performers?
There's some scenes where you kind of have to go back and just go from what the original cast of Monty Python did because it's just so iconic. But then there's other ones where you try and find your own little place within it. But even then, you'll be like, oh yeah, I'm going to do a bit of a Eric Idle accent on that one and more of a John Cleese over here.
Do you find that doing these sketches opens them up for you in ways that you didn't experience when you just watched them in the original show?
Absolutely. And you learn them to a point, because there's always those little bits that you didn't quite understand or those references that went over your head, and all of a sudden you understand it where they were coming from when they wrote it in the first place.
What do you think is the essence of Monty Python humor, and how is it different from, say, American sketch comedy like Saturday Night Live?
I think the key for Monty Python is they never break. It's always played as straight, no matter how ridiculous it gets, and it gets quite ridiculous. They always do it as if it's completely normal.
Have you been successful in keeping that absolutely straight-laced persona through these wild sketches?
There have always been moments when my fellow castmates do something different. Those moments when you can't even keep it together because it's just so funny. That's really when you remember just how amazing the material you're working with is. When you see that even when trying to keep it as straight as you can, you can't help but laugh.
What's your favorite sketch to participate in?
My favorite sketch personally is Silly Walks. Because I get to just go around the entire stage doing ridiculous of walks as I can muster.
This is Ava Hilsey, and if you recognize that name, she is the sister of the director, Alexandra. So are you having a blast doing Monty Python?
Oh, certainly. It's only been my dream my whole life to do something of Monty Python ever since I was young. I watched their sketches. It was definitely something that I always aspired to do.
What was your initial impression when you were very little and you first were exposed to Monty Python? What did you make of it?
Well, at first, as you would think, it was extremely confusing, but to a young mind, it was also very hilarious. Sheep were flying out of trees randomly, and it was hilarious. I actually ended up watching it on accident. I think I was around 7, and my mom got it. It wasn't supposed to be for me to watch it, but Alex and I snuck it in an old VCR, remember those? And well, we were completely entranced and hypnotized by the wonderful intelligence of Monty Python.
How would you describe the essence of what Monty Python is?
I'd say it's very dry humor. You rarely see them smile, which makes you smile more. I can never explain it. To me, they just are humor. They're where I draw my humor myself.
Did you have any struggle translating your sensibilities from American Girl to these very British characters and situations?
Yes, I definitely had a lot of trouble with that, trying to also take the male characters, since Monty Python is a completely male cast. It was definitely difficult to use my vocal range and try to translate it into something more of what they used in their sketches, because their voices were a big part of their comedy, the way they used them. And so it was very difficult as an actor to try to take that and do the best I could with the resources I had.
So your troupe is doing almost 20 different sketches. What's your favorite to take part in?
Well, I think my favorite would have to be Spam. It was always one of my favorites. And when Alex told me I was the lady that got to read all the different Spam dishes, I jumped out of my seat and I gave her a giant hug and I kissed her on the cheek. And I was like, oh my gosh, you knew this was my dream. It's just such a fun character to do. She's a pepper pot, so I'm playing a man dressing as a woman. So,
okay. A woman playing a man dressing as a woman. Okay. So what is so funny about the word spam? It makes me laugh every time I hear it.
It's probably because of the kind of, I don't know, stigma around it, how it's nothing that you really hear people eat very often. So when you just hear it out of the blue, you're like, whoa, I know what that is, but it's just so weird to me. Like, people actually eat that. I've never actually seen anyone eat Spam or purchase Spam, so it's definitely funny to me in that sense.
So what would you say to prospective audience members who can see this Monty Python educational show tonight or tomorrow night? Those are the only two performances. What would you say to them, even the ones who weren't already Monty Python heads?
Well, it's definitely very dry humor if you're interested in that, but it's something that you definitely don't want to miss. It's a two-day opportunity, and it's something that you might remember for a very long time, hopefully. All I can say is that I loved the experience, and I would do it 100 times again.
And now I'm here with Stephen Sprague. Have you found these sketches you've seen so many times in the original Python version are coming to life, renewed in unusual ways for you?
Yes. Getting to actually perform them and learning just how do they do this? How are they actually making these sketches breathes new life into them. I feel closer to these than I have ever before because I get to know all the little details that are part of these sketches.
What would you say is your favorite sketch or your favorite couple of sketches to perform?
Oh, I absolutely love Spanish Inquisition. It's very silly, and I get to be extremely crazy, and it's one of the ones that I've always loved. And Dead Parrot is such a great one, and it's such a timeless sketch that it gets me here in my heart. I love it so much, and they're so fun.
Stephen, tell me your take on the basic concept of the educational show. Where's the education and what's happening for the audience?
There's a little bit of history. There's a little bit about space. Okay. There's a little bit of religion there too and politics.
So if you were going to invite someone who wasn't really familiar with Python, how would that invitation go?
It's a very, very fun show. Super funny, and it may be a little different. This is not going to be SNL. This is going to be different, but it's still going to be great and fun, and you're going to have a wonderful time.
Monty Python's educational show, which plays tonight and tomorrow night only at the Blue Room Theater in Chico. Let's join our visual art expert, Dolores Mitchell, as she talks with an art teacher from one of Chico's high schools.
Today, I'm speaking with Rita Rickmers, who is an art teacher at Pleasant Valley High School. She's going to talk about a program for her students.
This year, Linda Elliott, our teacher librarian, and myself received a grant from the California Teachers Association Institute for Teaching. This grant that we wrote is called Artrepreneurs. The concept behind it is to give students a chance to see what it would be like to be their own bosses and to have an opportunity to make money through art. I had the students actually take a survey online about their own strengths to evaluate themselves in terms of what areas they would want to focus on to promote themselves as entrepreneurs. They then got into teams of 1 to 4 and decided on a product that they thought they would be able to create and to also sell to the public. One of the things that the students had to do was create a logo that advertised their business, and they also have to create packaging that's going to be eye-catching and that the public will want to stop and hopefully buy.
You developed a very good relationship with professors of design who helped in this project.
I did. I'm longtime friends with Peter Strauss, who is the director for the Center of Entrepreneurship at Chico State. He gave a PowerPoint presentation to the kids about the basic concepts of being entrepreneurs. We also did a field trip to the IDEA Fab Lab, which is a makerspace here in Chico, and to the Chico Arts Center so they could see the gift shop. We also went to Made in Chico and to Chico Paper Company so they could look at local artistic products.
There's nothing better than seeing something that is already a success. It can be very inspiring.
And that is one of the things that inspired me to do this project, is we have such a sense of entrepreneurship here in Chico. Everything from local businesses to local products like Clean Canteen and Chico Bags and things like that that have been successful.
I'm going to now ask Vanessa, one of the participants, about her experience with this program.
I've really enjoyed making art. It's really cool to see how some of my products can actually be sold to people and that they enjoy them.
You were telling me you already have a list of would-be customers.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends and family who they see me making them and they get really excited and they really want to buy some of them. And it makes me happy because they are so excited about it.
You were showing me some very whimsical cat heads that you were doodling. So you're one of these people that when you're on the phone, you doodle and it becomes very creative and humorous.
I'm actually allergic to cats, but I really love them and I want one eventually. So I usually just doodle them around the house.
How does this then translate into making a product?
Well, I usually draw with pen. So a lot of my things are just outlines that are easy to apply to like the products that I have. Mugs and wallets, it's easy for me to take my doodles or just drawings and apply them there.
And what have you learned from this process?
I've learned how to manage my time a lot. I definitely need to manage my time better. And I've also learned how to sell to people and what kind of products people like.
It seems like a very real approach to education where you have an actual problem and people that are going to give you feedback, that's real feedback. Was that part of your enjoyment?
It was actually really interesting because everyone was treated more like adults rather than a bunch of high school students. When we presented to the board and everything, they didn't act like we were just children. They saw us as real business people. They were ready to give us real feedback on our logos and our designs. They did not hold back, and it was really nice.
Rita, tell us about the board.
We invited local artists or people that are involved in entrepreneurship to come in, and we broke them into 2 teams, and they included artists like Dave Lawton and Susan Kirk and Cynthia Sexton. We also had Peter Strauss come in from Chico State.
Tira, you had to pitch your product to this board. Pretend I'm a board member and pitch your product to me.
Our product is called a bath bomb, and it's something you drop in your bathtub after it's filled with water. It will dissolve with a bunch of bubbles and fizzing, and it'll make your water a different color, and it'll smell really good. It can smell like lavender or roses. We have a bunch of different scents we're applying right now. This is a great product because it's really booming with teenagers right now, which makes it a great product to sell at the high school. We're hoping to expand it to other age groups because everyone needs a bath. And we hope that adults will start getting into this too because everyone loves a spa day. And since it changes the color of the bathtub, we think it would be a great market for kids too.
Have you always been interested in art?
since I was a little girl, I was sketching on everything, sometimes things that got me in trouble. But yeah, I've always been very big into art, and I apply it into everything, even in my notebook when I'm trying to take notes or just anything really. And I've been trying to find ways to market my art for a while, and so this has been a great experience.
How about some of these shapes that you're using?
We ordered some molds from offline. So we have the basic sphere, which is how most bath bombs come if you go to other places. But we also got some other molds that are usually used in making cakes. We use them to make flower shapes, and hopefully we can get some other shapes as well.
Rita, it seems to me that this project is helping students in so many ways. Art is an extremely important part of it, but what are the other benefits?
One of our big focuses is teamwork, having kids either work together or also give each other feedback to support each other emotionally through this whole process, as well as give each other ideas. Another focus is a little bit on the math side, in that they have to think about how much their materials cost, how much profit they're going to make, as well as start to figure out how much time they put into something, because time is money, and how do you factor that into the process?
You're working up to a really celebratory experience of showing your work as a group at Art at the Matador, which will be May 12th and 13th.
We are super excited. We have a room, and we also have an outdoor booth. We have 20 different teams selling everything from jewelry. We have bracelets, pins, earrings, hand-painted original ceramic flower pots. We have a nice variety of different types of soaps that one team's making, as well as the mugs, purses, and the bath bombs. So we have a lot of other things too. We're just super excited to get our stuff out there and hopefully get the support of the community.
You certainly have a good weekend to do it. That is Mother's Day weekend. Anyone who is looking for a lovely gift, this is a place to come. Tira, will this experience have a lasting impact on you, that is, after high school?
Most definitely, not just the inspiration of being able to sell what you make that really boosts your confidence when you leave high school, be able to do something that can support yourself and also release your creativity. It's taught us a lot about things we wouldn't have learned before, like handling money and looking into expenses for future profit, which is something you don't really learn anywhere else in high school. It's really great to have that real world experience that prepares us.
Thank you all.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.